Well, this time, let's turn our focus to God's Word. We'll be looking at Luke chapter 3 this morning. So if you'll turn there, you'll also find the words on the screen. Let's stand. We've sang some powerful words this morning, words of testimony. The world is watching us. The world has come up with a term called virtue signaling. And that's what they think we Christians are doing sometimes. We use religious words that make us feel better. But then when they look at our lives, they don't necessarily see the reality there. Jesus came to bring us something real. And these words are about his life this morning. So Luke chapter 3, beginning at verse 15. Open your heart to God's word. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. But when John rebuked Herod the tetrarch because of his marriage to Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he had done, Herod added this to them all. He locked up John in prison. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form, like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." This is God's word. You can be seated. So John, that we call John the Baptizer or John the Baptist, that doesn't mean he was a Baptist instead of Nazarene. Right? It means he was the one who did the baptizing, not the one who was one of Jesus' intimate close followers, sometimes called John the Evangelist. And again, that's not a traveling evangelist, but now I'm digressing. So John the Baptist was there calling people to genuine repentance. He was calling people away from virtue signaling on the day of worship and living a life that had almost nothing to do with God. He was saying, what we've made of things is a sham and a mess, and we need to confess, and we need to come and dip ourselves in these waters. And he wasn't inviting them into nice, pristine waters. He was inviting them into the dirty Jordan River. But it was clean enough to wash their sins away. He was saying, come and be washed clean and have the old life washed away to make way for God who is coming. Because when we live carelessly but then cry out to God, blaming him for all of the troubles of the world and saying things ought to be different, well, that's just a little out of scale. He's saying, no, how about if God comes here, right? Let God come here, and then maybe you'll begin to see how God is coming here as well. Amen? And so he invited them to make a change. Now, he talks there about the baptism with water that he was offering to them, and he hints at a baptism with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, we call baptism a sacrament. So let's just say that word together, sacrament, right? So that means it's one of those holy actions that we do that allows the grace of God to flow into our lives. That's what a sacrament is. And so here is our statement about it from the Nazarene Manual that helps to give some expression. We believe that Christian baptism, commanded by our Lord, is a sacrament signifying acceptance of the benefits of the atonement of Jesus Christ, to be administered to believers and declarative of their faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior, and full purpose of obedience in holiness and righteousness. Baptism being a symbol of the new covenant, young children may be baptized upon request of parents or guardians who shall give assurance for them of necessary Christian training. Baptism may be administered by sprinkling, pouring, or immersion, according to the choice of the applicant, and incorporation into the body of Christ, because baptism is a means of grace proclaiming faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. Excuse me, this has got a repeat in here, sorry. John's baptism was one of repentance to prepare for Jesus. And now that Jesus has come, to be believing that the Holy Spirit is involved from day one. So we need to understand that although John is signaling a day in the future that's to come, it's no longer the case that when someone gets baptized by water, that somehow the Holy Spirit isn't involved. You hear what I'm saying there? So now that Jesus has come and he lived and he died for our sins, he was raised again victorious over sin, the Holy Spirit descended at Pentecost and filled the lives of believers. Now the Holy Spirit is active in everyone's life who believes. That's important to remember, amen? John's baptism was a way of getting ready for all of that amazing stuff to happen. For people to say, as good as it's been in terms of God's provision, what's coming is even better. And what falls short of it most is what's in our own hearts. So he was calling them to get ready. I'll say more about this in a bit, but it's just getting started in our lives when the Holy Spirit takes up residence in us. But what a wonderful beginning to our faith journey when we are baptized. Whether you're an infant who later on makes a public profession of faith, a child old enough to commit on their own, an adult making a midlife choice that changes everything, or even an older adult who just never got around to it, but now wants to make it clear and public that I'm following Jesus. Baptism is beautiful and wonderful, no matter what stage in life it happens in. And it's always a sign and a seal of everything that God's been doing up to that point in someone's life. We don't believe and teach that you're saved at the moment of baptism. We believe that you're saved when you put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But baptism is, let's say, your first act of obedience. Because Jesus went to be baptized. Think about that. Now, Jesus was not confessing sin in his own life, but he was confessing his dependence upon God. That as a human being in the flesh, he needed the presence of the Father and the presence of the Spirit in his life in order to be all that he could be as a human being. He was also representing us. And as a human being, as the most important human being, coming and doing that which all of us should do. And so in the midst of that, he was connecting with his mission in life. He was connecting with and identifying with us. And it's a foreshadowing of the role that he was going to play in our forgiveness and in our restoration. It's also one of those beautiful passages where we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all active at the same time. So there are those who try to say that, no, there's just God, and just we call it Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but just sometimes when God's working, he's the Father, and sometimes he shows up as the Holy Spirit, and sometimes he shows up as Jesus. No, it's all three. You need all three in order to fully understand and experience who God is. Now, why it's that way, I don't know, but I'm signing up for that class in heaven. Amen? But for now, we don't need to wrestle with the why question. It's just how it is, and it's a perfect way for God to present the fullness of who God is to us. A Father that we can know and relate to, a Father who gives us guidance and tells us how we should live. We have a Son who identified with us and took upon himself everything that was on us and walked a mile in our shoes and then died for us and was raised again victorious. And the Holy Spirit, who now comes and brings all of that goodness directly to bear on the human life. I don't know if it's a biology thing. I don't know if spiritual reality is something totally separate from our bodies or how it all works. But somehow the way we experience God in an immediate way in our bodies and in our senses is through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So I give thanks to God for the Trinity, the three in one, all three ways that God reveals God's self to us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, live constantly in holy love, submitting to one another, doing the will of the Father, the Holy Spirit representing and reminding us of the words of Jesus. What a powerful combination that provides for everything we need. Amen? And so there's Jesus, the Son of God, coming forward into those waters. And as he's obedient and taking this step, and as the water's still dripping off, here is the Holy Spirit descending upon him and God the Father speaking from heaven, words of approval and blessing. Jesus was going to need those words because we know what was coming. Amen? Like Jesus, our baptism is an affirmation of our identity. It marks us as one who is saying publicly, I'm no longer who I was. I am now living God's ways. I'm now accountable to live the way God wants me to. And of course, nobody's perfect. But I'm a person who's going to make it right if I go astray. I'm a person who will humble myself and ask for forgiveness because I am now following Jesus. That's what we're saying when we're baptized. And it's beautiful every time. I've seen so many examples of it as a pastor, what a privilege it is to be able to be there when someone else gets wet and get a little splashed on me too. It's just a moment that had so much leading up to it. People investing in others, people loving others, people showing them the way and announcing the good news, and someone saying, that's such good news. It's the news that needs to define who I am as a person. If you haven't taken that step, you need to, because it's powerful. And I wanted to have a couple people come and to share very briefly, some brief accounts of their own baptism. I've got people from a couple different stages of life, a man and a woman, to come. So, Bob, I'm going to ask you to come first, if you would. Just come on down. You'll just share a little bit about the circumstances and what it meant to you.
Okay, Karen, this is our story. We joined the Nazarene Church in 1983 after the death of Karen's mother. The church did such a fine job of taking care of us that we decided we wanted to be in it with those people. Well, after we started church, we started Sunday school. And we learned about baptism. So we wanted to do that. So I think about 6 months after we started and joined a church, we went to baptism. And Karen was so anxious to get in the water, she was going to cannonball, but I had to stop her. But as we came up out of the water, we were both 42. We were in the middle of our lives when we started church and got baptized. But as we come up out of the water, I can't remember what we said there. Karen said, this was 36 years ago. But I know what's in my heart now was in my heart then, and Karen's. And we both praised the Lord, thanked him for our salvation, thanked him for his son, Jesus Christ, and the opportunity that we had to live a good life. So we both have tried to lead a good life. As in that scripture said, God's well pleased with us. So that's our story. Amen. Just that simple.
All right, thank you. Beautiful. Appreciate it. Paula, I ask you to come as well. So if you'll share about your time also.
Okay. I was baptized when I was 9 years old. I was lucky enough and blessed enough to grow up in both a personal family and a church family as well that saw baptism as a true celebration in every sense of the word. And it was something I was very excited to be a part of because I grew up, it had been explained to me that baptism was something that you did to show your love for Christ and then to grow closer to him. You know, I had a little problem with the scripture where it says, you know, that you could be buried with him in death. I didn't get that as a 9-year-old, but I did think that overall this was everything I wanted to be in my Christian walk. It was exciting. I went to the pastor. I said that I wanted to do this. He asked me why. I just told him what I told you. I went through a series of classes where one of the elders came to my home and explained how baptism fit into God's plan. And I remember at that time when I was 9 years old, I was in a Sunday school class at church, and then I went into something called Little Church. So I'd never sat in an adult service before. And so when the day of the baptism, Little Church, they brought them out. I was sitting there up front. They took me back. I got on a robe. Then we went into the water, and the pastor, I remember just at the very beginning, I thought, I don't know that I want to do this. And I remember hearing a voice in my head that said, go for it. Do it. You know, I'm with you. And so the pastor baptized me. He immersed me. We believed in total immersion. And as I came up, I remember thinking, I want to do it again. I love this. This is so fun. And with our church that I'd grown up at, what I didn't realize at that time was that they would just kind of spontaneously sing, "Now I Belong to Jesus." And again, I had never heard that. And so I also remember thinking, they're singing to me. I thought that was just wonderful. And then I realized, of course, later that this was a proclamation of love for God, not for what I had done. But I found it to be so exciting. I mean, it really did, to be part of Jesus. But I also realized at that point that baptism just signals kind of the start of a whole new life with Christ, because you declare yourself on his team, part of his family. But from that point on, then you start to evolve and you start to get to know him and you realize that you have a very fluid relationship with him. And so I will forever, to the day I die, remember the day that I got baptized for a lot of reasons, but mostly because I was now accepted and loved by Christ. So I would totally recommend that anyone, if you haven't done it, it's a wonderful start to your walk with Christ.
So I know many others of you have also had this experience. Maybe all of you have. It's something to remember and not to let go of. Whenever anyone else is going to take that step, take yourself back to the moment of your own baptism. Remember it and be thankful. It's something to live out of every day of your life. So baptism with the Holy Spirit and fire. What was he getting at there, right? What did fire symbolize? Well, it symbolizes cleansing. It symbolizes a power, right? A force to be reckoned with. Baptism that transforms the inner life of the believer is what John is hinting at here. Only Jesus could inaugurate this kind of baptism. We go on in our journey, but it begins the moment we believe. And in the waters of baptism, something begins that becomes, as Jesus described in another place, streams of living water welling up within us. Remember those words from him? It sustains us through the seasons and changes of life, but it calls us deeper and deeper into the holy love of God and into the way of Jesus. At Pentecost, the church was introduced to the full power of the Holy Spirit to transform lives. But here at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, while still dripping wet from the waters of baptism, we see that God is always calling us forward. And so the presence of the Holy Spirit there was a reminder of what was to come. Now, John put it this way when describing Jesus, one who is greater than me. So could we just say that together? One who is greater than me. One more time. One who is greater than me. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not about any of us. It is first and ever only about Jesus. John had to admit that as exciting as it was for people to be interested in and following his ministry, it wasn't about him. It was all about paving the way for Jesus. Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. Jesus is the only Son of God. Jesus is the Messiah of Israel. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's our beginning and he's our end. So give your heart fully to him. If you've never been baptized, consider taking that step very soon. If it's been a long time and your life of following Jesus has lost its edge, get back in touch with the fiery presence of our sanctifying Savior. The issue is that our lives are surrendered to his glory. And the issue is that our lives are actually surrendered to his glory. It feels good to say the words. It feels good to gather on Sundays and say these things and rehearse these things together. But it's more than that. Amen? It's about living those words. And those words are not easy to live. We need the presence of God welcome deeply in our lives in order to truly follow him. Amen? We become part of a new family. The old life is left behind. We join a new way of life, a life of love and service. And some of us, maybe you were baptized as an infant, but that was never followed up on as an adult. And there's something called making your profession of faith. And that's where it's fully realizing what was begun when you were an infant, when your family said, we're going to raise this child to be a Christian, and we believe the grace of God covers this child now. But as you grow and as you learn and as you respond to God, you come to the place where you're saying, I'm ready to own that. I'm ready to live that. And you come and we ask you some of the same questions we would ask someone who was going to be baptized, but you're making your profession of faith and realizing all of that potential that was there. So this morning, have you been baptized or have you made your profession of faith? And if you have, are you still living on that dripping wet edge full of the grace of God and the fiery presence of the Holy Spirit? Let's pray. Father, speak to us this morning. It's simple. It's just about following you. But it's so wonderful the way you've designed for us to have things happening deep in our lives that we give testimony to publicly. But Father, forgive us for the times that our public words have been found to be an empty shadow in the way that we live. So Lord, help us to revisit that in this moment. And if there's been some virtue signaling going on that's not referencing anything real, Lord, we confess that to you. Would you forgive us? Of course you will. But Father, enable us to receive more of you into our lives, that who we are would radiate your love and radiate your presence to our world. That's what we want, or we wouldn't be here this morning. So Father, let us hunger and thirst for righteousness, knowing that we will be filled with your help. This morning, with your eyes closed still, if there's anyone here who's never been baptized or who needs to make that public profession of faith, and God's urging you and you're saying, I think it's time. I want to begin to explore this. With no one looking around, with your eyes closed, would you just raise your hand and say, follow up with me, because this is a step I need to take. Anyone this morning? We'll pause just a moment here. Thank you. Father, speak into our lives this morning. If the Lord's just been saying to you this morning, it's time to get back in touch with all that you committed to when you got wet for me. And you're saying, I want to follow Jesus this year in fullness with all that I am. And in a fresh way, I'm saying yes to him. If that's you this morning, just lift up your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else today? Thank you, Father. Thank you for these. I pray, Lord, that this morning we would just be renewed, that we would remember all of the joys and the wonders of following you. May we never tire of celebrating your grace at work in our lives. Father, the world needs us, people truly changed by grace. So help us to be that and more because of you. And we pray it in Jesus' powerful name. And everyone said, amen. It's been good to be together. Would you stand, please? I pray that God will fill you with the Holy Spirit and fire, that as you live for him, you'd be his authentic people. And may the world be blessed and others come to know him. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We want to say a special thank you to those who worked so hard yesterday. I can't believe all the Christmas stuff is put away. So thank you. I know Helen was here. I think Despina was here. I think Sue was here. Everybody who was here. Let's say thank you to them at this time. We appreciate it. Okay, board members, remember we have a meeting now. Everyone else, have a great week. We'll see you Sunday.